Mack going to throw. Jones is there. It's caught. Julio stays in. Hit the pylon. Touchdown, Atlanta.
It's time for the Falcons flyover.
A complete recap of today's game as we check in with Coach Quinn, quarterback Matt Ryan, and more Falcons.
As we also get your take on today's game. The Falcons flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Thomas Mott.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, live and local inside the Kia Studios. This is the Falcons flyover. I'm your host, Thomas Mott. Dylan Matthews producing with me for the next hour and a half until 7 p.m. on the East Coast. Get you ready for Atlanta United a little bit later on this evening. Well, if you thought some changes up at the top in terms of the head coach and GM were going to make a difference, guess what? You were right. Goodness gracious, how did that, the Falcons look fantastic today. 40 points. Let me say that again. 40 points against a Minnesota Viking team that, yes, has struggled all year long, but still is probably the most talented 1-5 now team in the National Football League. Atlanta winners 40-23. How the heck did this happen? Talk about a turnaround. We're going to get into this entire game, starting with the highlights here in just 1 second, and then obviously getting your phone calls and reactions later on in this show. Dylan, turn your mic on for a second. Goodness gracious, 40-23. This is a week after the Falcons have not just last week, all week long, all year long, they've been terrible. They can't close out games. Not only did they play great defense, they played great offense and closed the game out too. Talk to me about this change.
I have no idea. I'm baffled. I really don't know what kind of team we saw. It was like a night and day difference. I mean, the offense came out efficient.
Yes.
Kept honest to the run game, kept it going. Todd Gurley had a good game, even though the numbers weren't necessarily there. They weren't flashy. He had some big runs, the big moments. Brian Hill, even though he had the fumble, had big moments. Stuck to the run game. The passing game was elite. Matt Ryan was on. He got Julio Jones involved. Calvin really looked good. We even saw guys like Christian Blake. Russell Gage had some good catches as well. And then the defense capitalizing on their opportunities, picked off Kirk Cousins 3 times. It was just a night and day difference. So I don't know if the coaching change just lit a fire in everybody, but I think the big thing is, I don't want to necessarily say this about Dan Quinn because I don't know this for sure, but I think, to be honest, my personal opinion, I think he was just too nice.
I think so.
Raheem Morris, I mean, we heard Dante Fowler Jr. Here. We heard the audio all week. He made them, Raheem Morris did, feel uncomfortable in a good way, and Dante Fowler Jr. was talking about that, and I think that was a big difference. He lit a fire under them, got them feeling uncomfortable, and told them, hey, this is unacceptable. You got to go out there and play better, and I mean, he lit a fire under them, and he made them play better, told them this isn't good enough, and then they responded well.
Part of me, all week long, I was thinking in my head, listen, I know that we need a head coaching change, and I was one of the ones at the forefront of saying you got to move on from Dan Quinn, but I didn't really expect to see this dramatic of a turnaround in just 1 week. Now, it is just 1 week. We got to wait and see if they can get some wins going here, and that's obviously going to see, you know, as the weeks go on and further into this football season, but today was a night and day difference. Let's figure out how we got there. Let's go and jump into the highlights. Are you ready? Let's go. How about the very first play of the game? When have we ever started on the Falcon flyover highlights with the very first play of the game? But one of 3 interceptions of Kirk Cousins. This one, Deion Jones, a great interception.
High formation with a single back is Abdullah, the tight end, in motion. And here is Cousins to throw on first down. Intercepted. That's Deion Jones at the 45-yard line, looking to pick up a block at the far side. And Deion Jones is taken out of bounds near the Viking 30-yard line.
Deion Jones has had not a bad year, but I think a year where a lot of people have watched him, including myself, and gone, man, he just doesn't seem to be at the same level we've seen in the past. A fantastic day for Deion Jones. The Falcon defense, there are a lot more interceptions to come, but the first play, when you get a pick, that sets the tone for the defense the rest of the day. And then you have your offense go out there right after the interception, march right down the field. 5 plays, 29 yards. Welcome back, Julio Jones.
Here's Ryan. This is 3rd and 11. Up in the pocket, firing left side. Caught, touchdown, Julio Jones. At the pylon on the far side, Ryan dials Julio Jones on 3rd and 11 for the Falcon touchdown. And Jones into the end zone for the first time in 2020.
It's almost like Julio Jones is a really good football player that makes the entire Falcons better. Is it just me, or is that just a fact? 8 catches, 137 yards, two touchdowns on the day. Welcome back, Julio Jones, from that hamstring injury. Fast forward to a couple of Falcon possessions. They got a field goal, and then on their following possession, following the third straight three and out by the Minnesota Vikings, the Falcons are driving down deep inside Viking territory, and then a very strange fumble here by Brian Hill. Listen to the call by Wes Durham.
Here's the quick toss. This is Hill trying to get to the right side. Cuts back at the 30. Fumbled the ball, and it is scooped up. Eric Wilson has recovered for the Vikings on the fumble by Brian Hill.
Kind of just punched out behind Brian Hill. Got to do a little bit better a job on ball security, but that took points off of the board. And at the time, it's only 10-0, and you start to kind of go, well, we've seen Falcon leads before. We've seen them blow it, and this is kind of the recipe for disaster in turning the football over, but have no fear. The Falcon defense forced a turnover on downs by the Vikings on their next possession, and then the next Viking possession after that, rookie A.J. Terrell, who's been very good when in there and when healthy, gets his first interception of the year.
Cousins empties three to the left, a tight end and a receiver here, BB to the right. Here's the throw down the field, intercepted. A.J. Terrell's first career pick at the Minnesota 39-yard line.
A.J. Terrell jumped right in front of that route. Again, a fantastic job jumping in there and going ahead and picking off the play. Falcons get the football back. 7-play, 40-yard drive as Matt Ryan of the offense marches it all the way down the field. And in the end, on 2nd-and-5 from the Minnesota 8, he finds Calvin Ridley for the 5-yard touchdown. Ridley had an absolutely fantastic game. Here's how it sounded.
2nd-and-5, Atlanta at Minnesota's 8. Ryan on a bootleg, going to flip it on the backside. Here's Ridley, the catch and the score. Calvin Ridley caught it on a tight angle and found the far pylon on the front side for the Atlanta touchdown.
6 catches, 61 yards, and 1 touchdown. You just heard it there. Wes Durham on the call as you listen to it here on the Falcons Radio Network, 92.9 The Game. So the game is starting to get out of hand here. It's 17-0 Atlanta. Kirk Cousins and this Minnesota offense has got to start figuring things out. They get the ball following the Ridley touchdown. 4 plays, and third time's a charm on the day. Another Kirk Cousins pick.
Cousins on the drop. Batted ball, intercepted a Lewican. Foyer keeps his feet. A third interception, I should say, of this first half for Kirk Cousins. And it is the first career interception for Foyer Aluakun.
Falcons went out a field goal to end the half. It's 20-0, although I saw a lot of tweets at halftime from Falcon fans saying, well, how are we going to blow this game again? And honestly, after the halftime, the Falcons added a field goal, but it was the first play of the Vikings' drive down, or Vikings' third quarter drive, down 23-0, where finally Kirk Cousins got it going, and he found the fantastic young rookie Justin Jefferson for his first of 2 scores.
Here's Cousins back across the middle, inside catch. Jefferson reached and I think will be awarded the touchdown, and he will. So the rookie season of Justin Jefferson comes with his 2nd touchdown.
No rookie receiver in the history of the National Football League has more receiving yards and touchdowns through their first 5 games than one Justin Jefferson. 18 touchdowns last year at LSU. He was really, really good today, and the Falcon defense had to kind of reel him in and follow him, especially there in the third quarter. But the good news is, the Falcon offense was not stopping with just 23 points. They wanted more. And so, on a beautiful 4th-and-3 play made possible by Matt Ryan, he finds none other than Julio Jones.
Minnesota bringing 4. Ryan stepping up. Matt thought about it. Now gives ground. Going to flip it down the field. It's caught, Jones. Julio 10-5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Amazing. Ryan looked like he was going to tuck and run and backed up 3 yards. And softly flipped it to Jones for the touchdown.
That was the 2nd touchdown of Julio Jones' day. Again, Matt Ryan, when Julio Jones is on the field and healthy, because earlier on in the year, you could tell Jones was out there, but he was basically a decoy, was not a factor. When he's healthy, come on, he's still the best receiver in the entire National Football League. Falcons without a field goal. The Vikings would score a touchdown, make it 33-15. And then, with the Falcons continuing to, let's just say, keeping their pedal down on the floor to make sure they didn't blow this game, they went for on a 4th-and-1 late in the fourth quarter and more Matt Ryan magic.
Ryan under center with an eye behind him. Play fake. Ryan going to slip it back. Wide open is Hurst. 20, 15, 10, 5. And Hayden Hurst will close the show on a 4th-and-short. Hurst gets his 3rd touchdown catch, and it's a 35-yard throw from Ryan.
Version, which was successful, make it 40-23. Both of those catches by Justin Jefferson. They would then try the onside kick. to no avail. Falcons would take a couple of knees and end the game winners 40-23 behind Matt Ryan's 30 of 40 completions, 371 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, only sacked twice. How about a quarterback rating of 136.6? Quickly, the defense was absolutely fantastic. Kirk Cousins throwing 24 of 36, 343 yards, 3 touchdowns, but 3 first-half interceptions basically sealed the deal for a great day overall by the defense. They held the Vikings to under 35 yards of rushing. It was just an incredible day because you just compare it to what you saw from the Falcons through the first 4 weeks of the season. You go, what is this Falcons team I'm seeing right now? And a lot of people, including myself, now have to decide, is it Jeff Ulbrich who gets all of the credit, the new defensive coordinator, or is it the new head coach Raheem Morris who comes over from being the defensive coordinator? Here was Raheem Morris' first win as interim head coach.
You know, it's just fun to win. You know, anytime you can go out with a bunch of guys like the guys we got here in Atlanta, man, and be able to do the things we can do with these guys and be special like they were today, it's awesome.
Anyone who said the Falcons during their four-game losing streak, anyone who said Atlanta, sorry, five-game losing streak, this team is terrible, they don't have a lot of talent, you need to blow it up and just get a whole bunch of new guys, was not watching the Falcons game. Now, do they still have a lot of holes? Yes. Is this team by any means going to the postseason or on their way on the right side of this 1-5 start? Not yet. You need to see more wins, actually. But the talent has always been there. And the question now becomes, was it truly Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff that were holding this team back? And today's result tells you yes. Now, again, we the fans will have zero idea or indication if this is truly because they fired Dan Quinn. Like, did this truly light a fire under the team? We will never know because we're not inside that locker room. But based on what we saw, I think the simple answer is yes right now. And my real question, we're going to ask you guys this a little bit later on the show when we open up the phone lines. Do you give more credit to Jeff Ulbrich, the new defensive coordinator, or is this all Raheem Morris being the new head coach? Because you got to remember, it's not like the defense was playing great when Raheem Morris was coaching the defense. He goes to the head coaching position. Jeff Ulbrich starts calling the defensive plays, and it starts to change. And so for as much praise as Raheem Morris deserves, and as he will get probably this week, and if he keeps winning, he'll keep getting praise. But Ulbrich calling the defense seemed to me to make a massive difference. If they can keep this up, I'm not going to sit here and try and be super glass half full and say, guys, guess what? You're only a couple games out of maybe a wild card spot. No. You're still 1-5. They have a lot of work to do, and I think most of us expect them to not be a postseason team. But with that being said, if they can duplicate this performance going forward, they can start winning some football games. And as you look at the schedule, you have the Lions next week. That's a bad football team. Carolina lost again today. That's in 2 weeks. Denver won, but they're just not that special overall as a team. The Saints are having problems with Drew Brees. The Raiders, the Saints. I mean, like, there are some winnable football games on this schedule with the expanded playoffs. All I'm going to say is it's not over yet. Now, I was telling Dylan this before we went on the air. If they win this week and lose next week, then obviously it's all for naught. 6 losses is basically going to go ahead and do you win. But if they can start winning some games here and at least make it interesting, and that's all I care about, and that's all you should care about as a fan, make it interesting, it keeps all of us happy on Sunday afternoons because winning is a lot better than losing. And everyone in Atlanta and everyone rooting for the Falcons should at least enjoy what they saw on the field today because that was good football. And it showed the team is capable of good football, and that's a win enough for me in my books. Again, the question is going to be, Dylan, are they going to start rattling things off, or was this a fluke type of performance? I think you and I can agree this team is good enough to do this again, especially next week against at least Detroit.
Oh, yeah, this team, you can definitely beat Detroit. I mean, that team is not very good. It doesn't have nearly the talent that the Atlanta Falcons have. This team has talent. This team can string together a sum of wins. It's just we have to go out there and execute. And now that we have a coach that isn't afraid to put some foot on the player's neck and actually hold them accountable, not saying that Dan Quinn didn't hold people accountable, but I don't think he's doing the job that Raheem Morris looks like he's done so far. I mean, the players have already come out and said it, like I alluded to earlier. So I think with that spark that the Falcons have, and then I think Falcons players know too, all right, Arthur Blank is actually making some moves now. He's not playing no more.
Yeah.
So if you don't go out there and produce on the field, you can kiss your happy hind parts goodbye too. So they're actually, it's not only they're playing for Raheem Morris, they're not playing because, you know, they're professionals and trying to earn their check. They're playing to keep their jobs too.
That's a great point. And this even goes back up to the post-game or the post-firing press conference of Dan Quinn when Arthur Blank went to the very top of the roster and said, listen, we want to keep Matt Ryan, but he didn't guarantee Matt Ryan going forward. And so that probably, like you just said, woke people up and said, man, Matt Ryan's not safe. Probably the best quarterback in franchise history. I'm not safe either. I better work my butt off this week. And guess what? They all did. Again, Falcons win 40-23. We're going to break this down a lot more here coming up over the next hour. Here's what we're going to do. Quick break. When we come back, we'll do our classic, as we call it here, Jarvis Davis interview at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. He, of course, is our Falcon insider and reporter here at 92.9. Where does the praise go in Jarvis's mind? We'll find out next, coming up in about 6 minutes. And then out to the phone lines, get your reaction to the Falcons' first win of the year. They're 1-5, long way to go. But man, it felt good to just go ahead and get a win. Quick break, back in a flash. Falcons Flyover rolls on. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Now, it's time for a bird's eye view with 92.9 The Game's Falcon reporter, Jarvis Davis.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live inside the Kia Studios here in the Falcons Flyover. I'm your host, Thomas Mott. Happy today because the Falcons actually won. 40-23 winners over the Minnesota Vikings. And to break it all down, we need to do our bird's eye view segment. Go out to the waitboard.com hotline and bring in Jarvis Davis. He, of course, is the producer of the John Chuckery Show and our Falcons reporter and insider. Jarvis, they won.
They did get a W today.
Thank goodness.
That did happen.
Listen,
they look like a completely different team, right?
They look completely different, and that's exactly the question I was going to ask you. Are we going to put this all on a coaching change? Like, it's 40-23 a victory that you go, well, yeah, obviously, you just change the coaches out. You get a different message in there, and what do you know? You win games. Is that where we're going to go?
You know what? I wouldn't necessarily put it all on the coaching change because, one guy that just really stands out to me or that stood out to me earlier today was Deion Jones. Deion Jones has been a guy that hasn't been himself. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been himself. Because, you know, a lot of times people may think that, you know, I may be ragging on the guy, but when a player plays up to a certain standard when he first comes in, and you expect him to play at that standard, and if it's high and it's above average and even good, and at times we've seen Deion Jones play at a great high level. And he just hasn't done that this year. So I think Deion Jones had the best game he's had in 2020 to date. That was his best game. That's the best I've ever seen him play. So I think that, yeah, the coaching change definitely made a difference. But there were some things that were very similar to me on offense. Like, there was some questionable play calling in certain instances where it was – you would think they would pass the ball, like going in to score right before halftime. You run the football, and then you end up having to go for a field goal because you don't have enough time to run a pass play. So all of those things there were still some things that came up that, oh yeah, this looks familiar. But overall, I think it was a good showing today.
Talking to Jarvis Davis right now, our Falcons insider and reporter here at 92.9. Jarvis, I'm about to open up the phone lines to let fans call in and break down this game and talk about how they feel about winning the first Falcon game of the year. And I guarantee you, we will get a lot of people saying, I'm mad they won because I want to tank for a good draft pick. What would you say to somebody who has that mentality 6 games into an NFL season?
I would tell them you don't know what you really want in life.
Yep.
Because who really wants to lose for the rest of the season? Now, think about it. Okay, if we're in game 12, game 11, game 13 or whatever, and Dan Quinn gets let go, and you're in position to get a top 5 pick, and you're sitting right there at 7 or 8, I can maybe possibly understand that line of thinking. But when you actually think about it, you're talking about losing. You want to lose 10 games now. You want to lose 10 more games? You want to lose for the rest of the season? No, man, you don't want to see that. You want to see you want to see a difference. You want to see this team evolve. You want to see this team get better throughout the entire year. Now, they can still get better and still lose games. That's a possibility, but I just don't see that mindset being really true. like down in your heart, deep down in your heart, you're not saying, man, they need to lose all of these games and I'm going to still come back and watch every Sunday? No, that don't make any sense to me.
You mentioned the team still has to get better in some areas. We obviously, you obviously said that they need to get better in some play calling scenarios. Dirk Koetter, again, still, I think a lot of people would point to him as being the main reason a lot of the offense can stall at times, even though they scored 40 points today. Give me another area, based on what you saw, even in a win, a big win today, that you need to see the Falcons need to improve on going forward if they want to start putting a little, just a little run together here.
Special teams. I think they need to. I need to give Chris Rowland. Chris Rowland's a guy who broke Jerry Rice's record in college, and for somebody to be in the same sentence as that, I want to give that guy a chance. I want to see what he can do from a return game standpoint. And you saw Brandon Powell got a little better. You know, he fumbled the ball today, so you definitely don't want to see that type of stuff. So. And at this point, like, you don't, it's a clean sheet. So it's not like you built up some type of rapport or you returned touchdowns before. So I would love to see that special teams improve, because field position is so important for this team. Because look at what the Falcons were able to do when they got turnovers, when they're working with a short field. This offense is so different when they don't have to drive 75 yards, 80 yards, 95 yards. Because we've seen it even last week. They drove 94 yards and ended the drive with a field goal. It gives you more opportunities to mess up, to make the wrong play call. So I think that if you start giving this offense more short fields by getting returns, getting 10 to 15 yards, and having that mindset, say, hey, if I can get the offense one first down on a punt return, that'll be one less first down they have to worry about.
I mentioned a run, and I don't know if a run is two games in a row, three games in a row, four games in a row, whatever it is. The next three games are very winnable. Detroit, the Panthers, and Denver are all losing football teams based on their record. That's your next 3 weeks. So realistically, if we want to be totally glass half full kind of guys, you could be 4-5 going into the Saints game on November 22nd. The possibility of that happening, based on what you saw today and what you expect from this football team going forward, where are you at on that? You think that they could put a little run together here and get maybe to 500 by the Saints?
It's definitely possible. It's definitely possible. But it's also possible they can lose the next three, you know, because like of the inconsistency that we've seen in the past. And like I said, there's still some inconsistency there offensively. Because this only way this team is going to be able to go on a run is this, if this offense gets right. If this offense does what it's supposed to do. With all of the weapons that you have, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst, Todd Gurley, you know, Ito Smith and Brian Hill, all of those guys, is being able to get those guys on the same page, working as one big machine and putting up 30 points a game. I think it's more than possible. Because if you're putting up 40 points a game, I'm not saying it doesn't matter what you do on defense, but I think this defense is good enough to at least hold it down and hold a team to 25 points if you're putting up 30 points a game.
I love what I've seen from A.J. Terrell. We talked about him earlier on this season, even though he went out with an injury. But you and I... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but A.J. Terrell's been really, really, really good. Got his first interception of the year today. He's been injured. He comes back. Are the Falcons looking at a potential, maybe not shutdown corner, but a really, really good corner for the next couple of years? Everything I've seen from Terrell, based on the limited sample size we've seen, has been really, really good.
Yes. As of today, he's a good corner. I can definitely give him that right now. I'm going to hold off on being really good or start talking about grade or shutdown. I'll hold off on that. But as of today, he's going to be good. He's going to be a good corner, because the more all it's going to take is for him to continue to progress and be better. It's playing time. It's staying healthy. As long as he's able to stay healthy, you see where, you know, he was in zone coverage. He actually came off his man. He had his eyes on Kirk Cousins, came off of his man or where his man was going, and his eyes immediately went to where the receiver was, where Kirk Cousins was leading him to, and picked the ball off, man. Like, a lot of that type of stuff, you know, it's hard to teach that. It's hard to teach a guy to do something like that. That's just instinct. And when you have a corner like that with the size that he has and the speed that he has, and add that instinct on top of that, you're really cooking with something right there with AJ Terrell.
Final full-length question here, and I know this is the Falcons flyover, and we're talking about the Falcons in this game, but there is also a massive game taking place, not in this city, but basically in this city tonight, Game 7 in the World Series. I know we're talking football, but are the Braves going to win tonight? Let me just ask you a simple question. Do the Braves get it done tonight, Jarvis? I know you're a massive fan.
Man, I don't know, man. You know, based off of what Ian Anderson has done, yes. Like, if he continues to do what he's done, which is, like, unprecedented, like, yes. The quick answer is yes. But add on my experiences of growing up in this city and dealing with just little things right here that just kind of just blow everything that I thought up about this team and not be able to get to a championship or a World Series, what this team should be able to get to because of what the talent that's on this roster. And you know, and the sports PTSD, as my colleague Tanitra likes to refer to it as, that's the part that's holding me back from saying yes. But a long answer to your question though, I would have to say this: if Ian Anderson is able to do what he's been doing, I think the Braves win this game, and I think they win this game easily.
Man, I hope so. I hope you're right. I just had to ask. Tonight is such a big night overall. Game 7 in any series is big, but Game 7 to go to the World Series, had to sneak a question in there. Jarvis, listen, multi-talented, multi-role. I always appreciate you coming on. And listen, 1-5 stinks, but you never know. Maybe they get a run going here. We'll have you on each and every week to break it down here on the Bird's Eye View. Jarvis, enjoy your night, and go Braves.
My man, thank you, man, and thanks for having me on, Tucum.
He is Jarvis Davis, as always, does a fantastic job. Here's the deal. We're taking a quick break. We are off the air early today because of the Atlanta United matchup against the Toronto FC, so we're off at 7. So phone lines are now open on the Falcons flyover. Call in now. Let's break down this game. 404-471-0929, the number to get in on the conversation. Falcons flyover rolling on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Win on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Let's go.
Taking a look back at today's game with Falcons Flyover with Thomas Mott.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons Flyover live inside the Kia Studios. Thomas Mott, Dylan Matthews hanging out for another 40 minutes as we're out early at 7 to get you to the pregame show between for the Atlanta United Toronto FC matchup. And right now, it's time to go ahead and get to the phone lines and get your guys' take on the Falcons' big victory today. So call in 404-741-0929. I want to know what the biggest difference you saw today was between the first five games and today's win, whether it's coaching differences, whether it's offense, defense, Julio Jones, whatever. That's the first question we're going to offer to you guys when we get your guys' phone calls here in just a second. What was the biggest difference you saw on the football field today in the Falcons' 40-23 win? As always, Dylan will announce who's coming on, and then we'll go ahead and take the phone call. Dylan, who's up first?
All right, we got John from Union City is up first.
What up, John?
What a difference a foot in the behind makes.
Yep.
You just saw that. I've been saying this ever since this man got here as head coach, when I understood that nobody was pushing Ryan, nobody was pushing his defense, nobody was pushing his offense. Now, I don't know as far as energy is concerned. Energy in the game is created in practice. It's created in practice. When you have your foot in people's rear ends and hold them accountable to do their jobs, you get that job producing result out there on the field. Get it off the paper in potential, put it on the field in actuality. And I'm so mad about it because you screwed up five freaking games out there not performing, not representing this city, embarrassing this freaking city with lackluster effort from the head coach, the quarterback, all the way down. This was just ridiculous. And when this man said that he was going to make them uncomfortable, man, I don't want you making them uncomfortable. I want them to be mad with you. I want them to be pissed. I want them talking about you behind your back. That's the type of football team that you need to have out there, motivated, not to disappoint the coach and not to disappoint the money-paying fans in this city.
There you go. John, very well said. I appreciate the phone call there, John. John makes a lot of good points. I think that the main one is one that, again, that you and I don't get to see. Now, if you were just watching the game today and you saw them whenever they flashed the camera over to Raheem Morris, you would tell yourself, well, I mean, the energy difference between him and Dan Quinn when they flashed the camera on him isn't much, right? But John nailed it. It doesn't matter what they're whether you yelled at or not during the football game. Dan Quinn did plenty of yelling during the football game. I think the difference was made this week in practice, and John nailed it. People had their backs against the wall, right? The feet to the fire. This was a week of, hey, you better show up, or we're going to find somebody else who can show up, whether that is this week, whether you get benched, or whether you're traded in a couple of weeks during the NFL trade deadline. I think that was the message that was immediately sent when you fire your head coach five games into the NFL season. And guess what? For 1 week, and 1 week so far, it worked. Now, if it works next week and the week after that, then maybe they're onto something. But for only 1 week, it has worked, and now they got to do it again to recreate that success against the Detroit Lions. What I'm most upset about is what exactly John said he's upset about. It took five games to figure it out, and really, if they would have not had a stupid onside mistake blunder against the Cowboys and then Nick Foles' magic against the Bears, it's a 3-3 football team. Like, this is a 3-3 football team, and we'd be sitting here today trying to convince ourselves that they were going to go to the wild card. And I would be at the front of that pack saying this is a wild card football team based on what we saw today. But the problem is they're 1-5, and so it is way too early and probably way too late to go ahead and get a wild card conversation because, in fact, they have already lost five games. That's neither here nor there, though. It's just frustrating to go back to the Cowboy game and the Bear game and think, man, we are an onside kick and some Nick Foles magic and really some offensive play calling late in that game as well against Chicago from being 3-3. And 3-3 right now in the current NFC is basically good enough to be at least a seventh or a sixth seed in the wild card. But alas, we're not there. Next phone call is up. Dylan, who is it?
We got Phil from Atlanta online too. Phil is up.
What up, Phil?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much.
No, I just think y'all are delusional.
What?
I mean, there was no kicking the behind. They beat a bad team. You got a bad quarterback. Minnesota's a bad team, and I wouldn't be patting myself on the back or glad-handing myself. I mean, you did what you were supposed to do. You beat bad teams. You move on. You know, now you got the Detroit Lions, and the Lions are saying the same thing like the Falcons. Hell, we could be 3-3 and we would have blew a lead against Chicago. I mean, these things happen. Hell, the Giants got to win today. You know, I mean, well, the Lions blew out Jacksonville, so I really take no stock into this. You know, tell me when you get to New Orleans, when you get to Carolina, when you get to Tampa, then let me see. But beating up on bad teams with bad quarterbacks and thinking you've done something, you know, to me, it's a loser-type mentality. You did what you were supposed to do. Move on to the Lions. Do what you're supposed to do. There's no glad hand patting on the back. You're supposed to kick they behind.
Man.
You know?
Man, all right. Well, Phil just ruined my day. I mean, I guess I'm supposed to come on here and be like, all right, so this is the Falcon flyover that Phil wanted. So I would come on the air. Good night. This is the Falcon flyover. How's everyone doing? The Falcons did what they were supposed to do, and that's it, folks. Good night. I appreciate you guys listening. Like, what do you want me to do? Of course they did what they're supposed to do. Now, I will argue with Phil in saying this, that this Viking team is a lot better than their record overall says. They're 1-5, yes, but they have losses to Green Bay, where they scored 34, the Colts, the Titans, they lost by one. They beat the Texans and lost last week against Seattle by one. The Vikings are the best 1-5 team in the NFL. Now, again, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that, you know, oh, well, you know, we just move on. They were a good football team, blah, blah, blah. It still is, though, a big win for Atlanta because, one, it's a win, and we could be talking about being 0-6 right now, which I don't know about you. To me, it's not fun at all. And, two, it's not like you just beat the Jets, okay? Now you just beat the Giants, who, yes, got a win today, but against the Redskins, by the way. Okay, let's just calm down a little bit. This is a Viking team that, honestly, with a different quarterback, like you put Trevor Lawrence at the quarterback or at the helm for the Vikings, this is a playoff-caliber team. They have incredible receivers, a really good one in Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. They have a very good running back in Dalvin Cook, who wasn't out there, but still. And they have a very good defense, especially on the front four. The Falcons took it to them, so I get it. We're going to get the phone call saying this is a useless win. Why did you do it? But still, you could be 0-6. What if the Falcons had lost 40-23 today instead of one? We'd be in a lot worse mood. So I'm just trying to enjoy this win. I'm trying to look at the positives of this win. And I get it. The fact we're 0-5 creates a sort of unrest and upsetfulness with the team to the point that you don't want to be excited whenever they do something well because they've broken your heart 5 weeks in a row. And I get that. But at the same time, this is a team that made a big change. They adapted to it. Looks like they enjoyed the head coaching change and now have a potential opportunity to do something. Now, what is that something? Is it 6 wins? Probably. Is it 7 wins? Maybe. Is it 8 or 9 wins? Probably not. But it's not impossible. There's still 10 games left. And in 10 games, anything can happen, especially when your next couple of games, by the way, are against Detroit, are against the Panthers, and against the Broncos. You could very easily be 4-5 going into the Saints game, and if you're at that point, anything can happen. So I get it. People don't want to hear that. They just want to lose all the games and be miserable 24-7, and they probably want the Braves to lose tonight, the way they can be upset as well. But I, for one, want to find a positive. That way, I don't have to come on the air here every single week and talk about losses, and the fact we're talking about a win today, to me, is a very, very exciting day. Now, before we go to the next phone call, I'm making a rule right now. I was going to do this at the start of the show, and I forgot. You must end each phone call with Go Braves, okay? In case you didn't realize, this is not the Braves flyover, it's a Falcons flyover, but still, the Braves have the most relevant game to happen in Atlanta, not technically in Atlanta, but in Atlanta, since the Super Bowl. Tonight is a massive day, a massive night for the Atlanta Braves. So, whether you want to agree or disagree with me on the phone line, that's totally up to you, but you will end each phone call with Go Braves. If you don't, I'm going to be very upset. End each phone call with Go Braves because we got to give some positive energy out there to the Braves in Arlington for Game 7. Come on, Ian Anderson, please. Who is the next phone caller? Dylan.
Shout out to Josh from Stone Mountain. He's been waiting a minute. Josh is next.
Josh, thanks for the patience. What's up, man?
Hey, man, what's going on, fellas? First of all, I just want to say that it's the coaching, man.
Yeah.
I want you to – Dan Quinn is a great motivator, but he's not a great leader. I want you to look back when we went to the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan led that offense. And everybody got mad at Kyle Shanahan because, well, they weren't mad at him. They were wondering why we weren't, everybody was wondering why we weren't throwing to Roddy White. And it was a game. I forgot who we played. They threw to Roddy White 3 times in a row. And I think he only caught one pass. You know what I mean? He made the point that I'm the coach. This is my offense. This is how we're going to run it. You get the ball when you get it. So back to 2020. Dan Quinn, he's just so subtle. He's like, okay, guys, you know what I mean? We're going to go out here and fight for it, but you never seen the fight. We're going to go out here and we're going to fight hard as hell for it, but they never fought hard as hell for the coach. And today, it just showed that if you, like the first caller said, if you put a little fire underneath somebody, that's just like when your children, if you got children and they acting up in school, okay, all right, here we go. Go stand in timeout. Well, timeout might not work, so let's go to standing timeout with your hands up. Now they feel a little pressure. Like, you know, you got to do something to somebody so that you'll see, like, hey, we need results. Right now, we need results. And like you said, I don't know if we're going to go 11-5. I doubt it. You know what I mean? But it's good for the city that we got to win today. And the negative caller who called earlier, you know, I mean, I get it. We are supposed to beat those guys. But at the end of the day, you know what I mean? A win is a win, and go Braves.
Thank you. There you go. A perfect phone call. Now, a win is a win. We understand we're supposed to beat him, but it still feels good. And then, of course, a go Braves there at the very end of that phone call. We got 2 minutes, so we're going to do a quick phone call and then a break. Dylan, who's up?
All right. We got Birdman Jay on the line.
Birdman Jay, you got a minute. You got to be quick. Go for it.
Hey, man, first of all, that last caller before my last, man, that's a loser mentality.
Yep.
Because we would have been on this same phone call talking about how bad it is that we lost. So we can't talk about how good it is we won.
Yep.
Anyway, that's a loser mentality. That's crazy. But the most important thing I got out of this win was that what they said about Raheem Morris and talking about our best defensive players. Deion Jones, Grady Jarrett, Keanu Neal. You all got to set the standard. Like, it can't be nobody else. Like, we can't depend on our rookies. Like, that's our problem. We were depending on them to our corners to be in great coverage and all of that. We need our superstars to be superstars and overshadow our weak points, you know what I'm saying, our defense. And they made a point of saying that on the telecast, and I thought that was hella important, you know what I'm saying, that they said that he talked to them, telling them that they need to be even better players than what they already are. And I'm gone, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Go Braves there. We'll just throw that in there at the end. I appreciate the phone call there. He mentioned it. The three core players on this defense, Neal, Deion Jones, and then Grady Jarrett, all were very impactful tonight. And the rookies were very, very good as well, including Kendall Scheffel in that pick. All right, quick break. When we come back, we got one more segment. That's it. It's a shorter Falcon flyover because of Atlanta United taking on Toronto coming up for the pregame at 7. So we'll get to more phone calls and some of the highlights from the other games. That's next. That's Falcon Flyover. Cruises on. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
And the final snap of the game, and the ball game is over.
Talking about today's game here
on the Falcons Flyover
with Thomas Mott.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live inside the Kia Studios right now. Final full-length segment, again, off early because Atlanta United and Toronto FC have a pregame with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore at 7 p.m. We can get an eye on that one, as well as the Braves, who will be having their first pitch in a little over an hour and a half. Gosh, I'm nervous. Are you nervous? It's the Falcons flyover. Dylan, I'm so nervous. It's unbelievable.
Bro, I am literally so nervous, bro.
When was the last time we were this nervous for a Braves game? Like Game 5 last year? But I wasn't that nervous for Game 5 last year, right?
Yeah, I didn't feel that nervous about Game 5 last year. I thought we were going to put them away, and I didn't think there was going to be a 10-freaking-run first inning. But I'm nervous, bro.
Man, have
you
been to the Battery during one of these postseason games?
I went for Game 5 when I thought they were going to close it.
Game 5.
You were?
Where were you?
I was in the back near, you know where like the little fountain sprayer thingies are?
Oh, yeah. I was up at PBR. Yeah. I like got there super
early. Okay, so yeah, you were like up and I was down.
I probably walked past you though as I left. I just had no idea that you were there.
Yeah, I had no idea either. I wasn't looking around super hard, so I probably didn't see.
Plus, there was like about a billion people there, so the odds of me being like, "Oh, hey, Dylan, what's up?" Like, it's just
for
it's
sure.
not gonna happen.
We gotta go if they hopefully fingers crossed
if they
make
go
the World Series.
We're for sure going.
Oh,
we're
for sure.
Book that right now. So please
Heck
win
yeah.
tonight. If they lose tonight, you know what's the worst part about losing tonight is all those Atlanta fans who would immediately come out of the woodwork and go, "Well, told you we're cursed. We're just a cursed city. We can never have any." I'm so tired of those people. Now, maybe they have a point. You know, there's been a lot of bad things that have happened in and around the world of Atlanta sports. I get that. I'm just sick of hearing that as the excuse. I'm just so tired of it. And the Braves can change things. They can change that tonight. Although, then again, if they lose the World Series, those same people immediately go, "Well, we can't have nothing tonight." I'm just so tired of those people. Please win tonight, Atlanta, just for my own sake. Please. We'll see. We'll see. Ian Anderson can literally lift an entire city with his performance tonight. Thoughts and prayers out to him. Please have a good Game 7. Okay, back to the Falcons. It's the Falcons flyover, not the Braves flyover. Who are our next phone callers on the line? Dylan.
All right. Shout out to the dog in Atlanta. He's been waiting a while. The dog is
the
up.
The dog, what is up? I hope you don't want to talk about your dogs that lost last night. Keep it Falcons related because, man, Bama looked good.
No, we're talking about the DOG right here in Atlanta, and I'll tell you this, guys. Listen, first and foremost, love the show. Second off, I want to go ahead and give a shout-out to my Fantasy Football League, 6410 Fantasy Football League. I'm giving you a shout right now to all my GMs in the league. Check us out on Spotify, 6410radio.com. But right now, let's get to it, okay? Raheem Morris wants to drop the term interim. But that's just what he is. He's a retread from Tampa, and we've been doing it for so long. He's the guy that's responsible for our horrible defense, the worst defense in the NFL. And let's be honest, we knew the Falcons would do something like this. This is the Falcon way, right? We're about to get a great draft pick. No, we're going to get 4 or 5 wins, and we're going to ruin our draft pick. We're not going to take for Trevor. We're not going to get what we want. And listen, Watt and Mosh, I know you want to – you want to talk about Falcons wins, but nobody else does. We're ready to tank. We're ready to change the culture, get a new quarterback, get some new guys in. Let Julio and Matt Ryan go win somewhere else because they deserve it. Raheem Morris, please stop. Raheem the Dream, stop it right now. Leave us at one fucking win. Excuse my language, but we're out of here.
Okay.
Hey, go Braves.
Well, I appreciate the phone call there. Hopefully we got the dump in time. Yeah, so that was a classic phone call that I was expecting to have tonight, people being upset about the fact that the Falcons were winning games here. I just want to break it down for people that need to understand something. No team in the NFL tries to tank. Tanking in the NFL doesn't exist. Now, you might have a bad football team like the Jets who are going to lose games regardless, but there's no such thing as tanking because every single player on your roster might not be playing for a future in Atlanta, but a future somewhere else because the NFL, your lifespan is short, so you better show up or else you're going to be benched and probably out of the league quicker than you can say, you know, Braves win the World Series, right? So with that being said, the idea that this caller wants to go tank for Trevor Lawrence and that that's what the majority of Falcon fans want to do, I don't care if that's true or not. The reality of it is very, very slim. The Jets are horrible. The Falcons would beat the Jets by 30 right now. Right now. I mean, the Jets are getting obliterated by, as Matt Holmes said, the fish. Miami is killing them. They're 0-5. And let me tell you, I don't care if Sam Darnold's there or not. The Jets will take Trevor Lawrence. The odds of the Falcons being at 1 there for Trevor Lawrence is like negative 56%. It's not going to happen. Now, I've said before on my show what the Falcons need to do. And also, by the way, which no one wants to say, there's basically zero ways to get rid of Matt Ryan right now based on his contract. Zero ways, Dylan. I mean, literally, his dead cap money next year is $49 million. So you can't cut him, Roach. You literally are you might as well just quit being a Falcon fan because they would never be good ever again. And there's no one who's going to trade for a 36-year-old quarterback. Like, name a team right now that is a quarterback away. Like, there really, I mean, literally, name a team right now that is a quarterback away. There really isn't one. I mean, I can't think of a team that if you put them on there, they would instantly be better. So you're not going to be able to get off of Matt Ryan at all. So what you need to do, with that being said, is get a quarterback in the second or third round. Right, you go ahead and get a CJ Costello, a Kyle Trask, the North Dakota State guy. I know AJ McCarron. I mean, I don't care who it is. You get somebody, you put him underneath Matt Ryan, you let him learn and grow as it's supposed to be for quarterbacks, because we've gotten to this point where a first-round quarterback or even a second-round quarterback is just expected to start day one, and then they're playing on a terrible team, a.k.a. the Jets, and Sam Darnold is going to have his whole career wasted because he has no one around him and has had no time to go ahead and figure things out. So do it the right way, the way that Aaron Rodgers came up, sit him for a little bit, and then when you can finally move off of Matt Ryan based off of contract situation, then you put in the quarterback. So listen, I get that Trevor Lawrence looks really fun, and he looks like a guy that I'd love to have in Atlanta. I'd take him if we had the number one overall pick, but I'm a realistic guy who's actually watched football in the past 20 years, because it seems like some people haven't. There's no way the Falcons are going to lose enough games at the number one overall pick, and there's no way that you can tell them to tank. You're telling me you want to go stand in front of the entire Falcon team in tomorrow's meeting and go, guys, listen, I appreciate you working really hard to try and win a game for the city of Atlanta, who's been very mad at you for losing 5 straight games. But guess what? I want you to start losing games, please. Matt Ryan, start stinking. Julio Jones, you just came back from injury, 2 touchdowns, you were fantastic today. Please, just be bad. You can't do that in the NFL. It doesn't work that way. Watch the games and then talk, okay? I get it. We want Trevor Lawrence. And I would take him too. I just said that. But there's a 0% chance that happens because tanking doesn't exist in the NFL. This is not the Philadelphia 76ers in the NBA, okay? It doesn't work that way. And guess what? The Sixers aren't winners anyway. Okay, we don't have a lot of time left. I'm going to get a couple of phone calls here. We got to go lightning round now. So everyone who's we're going to go through the final phone callers, and we're going to try and get people on in 30 seconds or less. So whoever's first, let's just get him on there.
First of all, I like Spicy Thomas Mott. That's like, good, man. That's good stuff.
Dylan, tanking doesn't exist in the NFL.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. You can't sit in front of the Falcons and go, guys, listen, I appreciate your effort. I know we have 10 games left, but please lose them all.
And also, people have to think about this. A lot of times when you don't try, that's a lot of times you get hurt,
yes,
too. You're not going out there full out. I mean, you might get hurt, too. So you obviously don't want to jeopardize their career either. And plus, you don't go through all that. You don't go through all that pain. You don't go through all that practice just to give up and do nothing and just be on a bad football team and lose. If you were in that situation, you wouldn't want to lose. You want to put on that uniform and go through all that practice and stuff. Yes, you're getting paid millions of dollars, but you're a competitor at the end of the day. That's how you got to this level. You don't want to lose.
Name a team briefly here that has tanked on purpose the last couple of years.
None.
And gotten a good quarterback and then actually went out and won some games. Like, name
none.
One. I mean, think about this. Deshaun Watson was a mid-round draft pick. Patrick Mahomes was a mid-round draft pick. The Eagles traded up to get Carson Wentz. I mean, Jared Goff was traded up for. Josh Allen was like a 6th, 7th round pick, or 7th overall pick. It doesn't exist.
Mm-mm.
Okay, enough ranting. We literally have like 3 minutes. So we'll get 3 final phone callers. Whoever they are, put the first one on.
All right, Bruce is on. He's been waiting for a while. Shout out to Bruce.
What's up, man? You got to be quick. Sorry about it.
No worries, man. Hey, first of all, I gotta say, you said that the Braves winning is the biggest thing. Well, what about United winning as an expansion team? That was pretty cool.
True.
For Atlanta.
True.
But nobody really cares about that because it's soccer, I guess.
Yeah, well.
But I will say this. Okay, I think we have a really good chance tonight as a Braves team. And since the last caller used the F word, can I say chop on still? But I digress. Look, Matt Ryan is an amazing quarterback. I totally agree with you. Let's get somebody behind him. Maybe not like a Garoppolo because he kind of sucks. But let's get somebody behind Matt Ryan for a year Let him finish out his contract. Let him retire as, you know, a great quarterback with great stats, won a Super Bowl, got an MVP, but lost. All I'm saying is the Falcons, they're going to do what they did last year. They're going to start winning games, and then it's not going to matter. And, no, just like Carl Duke says, tanking is a terrible word. I hate that word. I don't think we should tank. I'm going to tell you this right now, though. I know we need a new head coach, but I'm going to tell you, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones still have that connection. And let him have it. I mean, let him play. That's all I got
to
say.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the phone call. I'm not going to comment on that because we need to go to the next phone caller. So who's up next?
We got Reggie next.
Reggie, you're up.
Dude, first off, the problem is we need to be in a position to get Trevor Lawrence because we can't. Because what Arthur Blank did when he fired Dimitroff and Quinn, he should have done that in 2017. We should have had the Matt Ryan issue at the end of 2017 because that was the window for this team to do anything. Yes, Matt Ryan's the greatest thing that has ever happened to this franchise. Love him to death, but that contract is hamstringing us. And can somebody please explain to me why in the world does Rich McKay still have a job? How do you get fired as GM only to get promoted to president and keep your job up to all this? Why does he still have a job? Please tell me this. Why?
No, I agree. I appreciate the phone call there. Listen, we don't have time for any more phone calls. So if you were waiting to get in, don't blame me. Blame Atlanta United because they're up early tonight. So I appreciate each and everybody calling in. I think it's a good mix of calls, right? There are some fans that agree with me and some fans that don't. But for the fans that don't agree with where I'm going with this and trying to be excited about a win, I simply look at the reality that we have. And even the last phone caller is right? Rich McKay, they should have gotten rid of Matt Ryan earlier. Yes, that's all true, but we're not at that point, right? I can't go back and change time, right? We cannot change the past. We can only hope to influence and make the right moves going forward in the future. And based on where we are at with salary cap and Matt Ryan's contract and everything, the only changes you're going to be able to make at the end of this season is a new head coach. And then possibly draft picks and free agents, right? But you're not going to be able to get rid of any of the core players that you have. Which, by the way, the two young cornerbacks, probably the last two players that Thomas Dimitroff is going to have given to the city of Atlanta, Kendall Sheffield, the cornerback, and A.J. Terrell, the cornerback, both were good today and looked like we could have some two solid pieces on the outside going forward. So I know we'll deal with people calling in wanting to tank and wanting to get rid of Matt Ryan for the rest of the year, even if they're 11-5. But I'm trying to do this from a logical, real standpoint. Let me just finish with this. If I could trade Matt Ryan and draft Trevor Lawrence this year, I would do it. 1,000%. I think everybody agrees. But the reality of that happening is literally zero. And so we got to enjoy what we have right now. And guess what? Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, as we noted, still got it. They look pretty darn good today. Maybe they get rolling. Maybe they don't. And guess what? We'll discuss it next week on the next edition of the Falcons Flyover. We're out at 55, right? So we literally have like 40 seconds left. All right. Final thoughts. Braves, Braves, Braves. Please win. Dylan, say it with me. Please win, Braves.
Please win, Braves.
Please win, Braves. Chop on, baby. Let's go, Braves, tonight.
Mix it up, baby. Let's get it.
Come on, man. They got to win tonight. Everybody, say your prayers. Right? Watch the game. Enjoy it. Braves night now. Right now, though, we got to go out to Toronto as Atlanta United is taking on Toronto FC. So here is Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. Thomas Motto and Matthews signing off.